Broadcasting.
Good morning. I'm opening this meeting of the House Committee on Revenue. It's Friday morning, June 18th, a little bit after 11 o'clock. We are not ready for our work session yet. There will be a work session later today on House Bill 2070. And for right now, what the announcement is that we will be in recess. We will reconvene this afternoon at 3 p.m. We are in recess.
Broadcasting.
Good afternoon. This is the House Committee on Revenue. Again, on Friday, June 18th, we're still not ready with all the paperwork. We will be recessed until 3:45 this afternoon. So everybody, please be back in the room at 3:45. Thank you. We're in recess.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Broadcasting.
Hello. Once again, this is the House Committee on Revenue. It's a little bit after 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We're still waiting to receive the rest of the information that we need to do our work this afternoon. We will be having a work session on House Bill 2070, but we are in recess until 5:20 this afternoon. See you in a little while.
Broadcasting.
Good afternoon. Once again, this is the House Committee on Revenue, Friday, June 18th. It's a little after 5:30 in the afternoon. This is, I wonder if it's the longest meeting of the session of any committee. Are we going to get a prize after first convening in the morning? But we're ready to go. I'm opening a work session on the one item on our agenda today.
Madam Chair, do you have
want to take
roll?
Oh, yes. Thank you. We didn't do that earlier, and we certainly need to do it now. Thank you very much. Yes, please do a roll call for attendance.
Rep. Levy.
Present by video.
Representative Marsh.
Marsh is here by video.
Representative Smith.
Representative Smith is present by video.
Representative Valderrama.
Valderrama present by video.
Vice Chair Pham.
Pham is present by video.
Vice Chair Reschke.
Reschke present by video.
And Chair Nathanson.
Nathanson present by video. Okay, the one item on our agenda is a work session on House Bill 2070. I bet LRO is ready and has been ready for a long time to present this for us. I'm opening the work session on House Bill 2070.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2070 is a bill that deals with the forest products harvest tax. And if you'd like me to go into the revenue impact, I can talk about that a little bit for you. Or do you just want me
just to remind us generally mm-hmm. about the harvest tax, just to have a general opening, and the revenue impact, that's fine.
Okay, so 2070 normally comes every biennium and reestablishes the forest products harvest tax, which is actually five components. Two of the components are in statute. One is a permanent rate that has been traditionally at 62.5% in recent years, and then the Oregon Forest Resources Institute, or better known as OFRI, rate is set through the OFRI board, subject to a cap. And then the other three components of the rate structure, which you'll see in the revenue impact statement, are established in statute in the legislature, in a bill similar to House Bill 2070. And then, those three rates that are established in statute in each biennium are usually, or they have been, subject to a two-year sunset or expiration. And so there is a dash eight, and the dash eight is related to that, but makes a few changes. And you can see that in the dash eight, there is a decrease in the funding from what we would have expected to be the status quo for the OFRI based on their historical rates and their current rate. And the forest land protection and fire suppression was raised from the 62.5 cents. And then those will be continuing as permanent rate structures in with the dash eight. The other three, OSU Research, Administration of the Forest Practices Act, and the OSU Education, those three rates that are in the dash eight will expire after 2 years. And what we see, you might just notice, just for your information, that the revenue impacts, there's the loss to OFRI and then the gains. And the gains are relative to either the current status, those first two rates, or the status quo for the last three rates, as I described. They would have sunset, so the status quo would have been zero. So those increases in the last three rates are relative to what would be zero when the rates expire. And then they don't exactly fit squarely into the 2 years that you might expect because of the calendar year versus the fiscal year, and also the filing times for the timber harvesters. And then the bill just does a few more things. It restricts the activities for the Oregon Forest Resources Institute and requires a report by the legislative revenue officer. And I'm happy to answer questions.
Okay. There's a lot to take in there because, as a reminder, the harvest tax is not a single tax. It's comprised of different rates and funding different activities. Are there any questions from the committee? Let me get the right screen. Representative Reschke.
Thank you, Chair Nathanson. And Ms. McGovern, the fiscal impact statement seems to say that the fiscal impact is indeterminate. And then reading further down, it seems to suggest that it will be minimal. But have you heard back from all the agencies involved to know that's going to be a true statement going forward, or is that just a best guess at this time?
Chair Nathanson, Representative Reschke, the fiscal office and the fiscal analysts that have contacted those agencies, they did not report back to me whether they had heard from all the agencies. So I can't answer that question. I can check in for you, but they don't report to the legislative revenue office. They report to the fiscal office. And then, I don't know what the details behind their work is. So sorry, I don't have the answer for you right now.
Additional questions? Yes, Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair Nathanson. I see that Representative Marsh was ahead of me. So if that's okay, I would defer to the representative.
That's very courteous of you. Thank you. Rep. Marsh.
Thank you, Rep. Smith. That was kind. Not necessary, but very kind. I don't think I heard an overall difference in revenue or the per board fee rate from what is proposed in the amendment to what has been in place for the last 2 years.
Sorry, Representative Marsh, Chair Nathanson. I have oddly been working on so many of the details, I wasn't specifically thinking about those. So in the first biennium 2021 to 23, there would be an increase of $14.51 million. And then in 2023-25, an increase of $9.3 million. And I'll give a little bit of an explanation behind the change in the rate itself. And the currently, if we think of the combined rate, that's often referred to as those five programs that are $4.13 per 1,000 board feet in total, where the OFRI component comprises $1.12 of that, and then the forest practices, or sorry, the Forest Land Protection Fund is 62.5 cents. So those two are in this measure in the dash eight pulled out and treated separately from the other portion of the rate. So I am just apologizing for a second in terms of combining or comparing current separate rates to the proposed measure. So the new measure actually changes the structure in the dash eight of the rates for the forest products harvests tax. So right now those five components are five distinct rates. Those two rates are permanent. Then the three other rates are the ones that are subject to the biennium legislative process that we're dealing with now. Those three that are remaining, those ones are combined into a rate instead mm-hmm. of being single rates. They are combined into one rate, which is $3.18. And then they are apportioned out according to
Can I step in here for a minute, please?
I'm sorry.
Rep. Marsh, I'm going to step in for a minute and tell you the chart that I'm looking at that compares the rates. Mm-hmm. The rate for research remains unchanged at 90 cents. The rate for protection changes from 0.625 to 0.94. which is a 50% increase. The rate for forest practices, it changes from 1.387 to 2.07, which is about a 49% increase. The rate for forestry education increases from 10 cents to 21 cents. So that's a 110% increase. And the rate for OFRI decreases from $1.12 to 81 cents, which is a 28% decrease. So that's when I did the numbers, looking individually, since these numbers were they were developed using information and suggestions that I was receiving from people representing the programs and the industry partners that are the taxpayers. Now, when Ms. McGovern was talking about the three rates that are combined together, those rates, hang on, I can look something up here. Those rates were the forest research, forest practices, and forestry education. That would be the $3.18 together. And since they're distributed by formula, they will be distributed exactly in the proportion that was suggested by those individual rates. So forest research would receive 28.3% of that $3.18. Forest practices would get 65.1%, and forestry education gets 6.6%. And if you look at the rate overall, if you take all of it, the combined rate for those three, and then the forest protection and OFRI, and we're still talking about the Dash 8, Ms. McGovern, I believe, or Mr. Alanak, I believe this still totals $4.93, which if you compare it to the $4.132 current, that's a 19% overall increase. If you just take them all added together, if you're for people who consider it as a single harvest tax, I believe the way I add the numbers, it's a 19% increase over the current harvest tax.
Thank you, Chair Nathanson. Just what I was looking for, 413 to 493. Sounds like it's the answer.
Yes, and I hope that someone from LRO will correct me if those numbers are wrong.
Those numbers are correct. Okay. Thank you, Chair Nathanson, for making that much more succinct.
Well, but we appreciate Legislative Revenue Office looking at the dots over the I's and crossing the T's and making sure that in the statute, everything works the way it's supposed to. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, it's kind of crazy because so often the media wants to portray, you know, contention between the parties. And what I would share really quickly is Chair Nathanson, I think you're one of the best chairs we've ever had in the legislature, most definitely someone who's had experience in Ways and Means and in revenue. Representative Marsh, you and I've kind of been down the trail together on fiber issues and many others. The challenge I'm going to have today is, you know, the folks in my district are asking me not to support the Dash 8, and so I'm not going to be able to support that. I just want you to know how much I appreciate the outreach you've had trying to make this work, because I can only imagine in your position how challenging that is. And so I'm hoping as we move forward in the future, we can continue to do what Chair Nathanson, you've always tried to do, and that's move to the middle to find a solution. This is a challenging issue. And so right now, the folks in my neck of the woods are saying, you know, Rep. Smith, please vote no. But with that said, I know how hard you've worked to move to the middle. And so I'll have to be a no today. I really do look forward to working with you and to Rep. Reschke and the rest of the committee to try and figure out how to find that middle ground. And I know you have worked hard to get there. So I just want to share that really quick for the record.
Thank you for the comments. Rep. Marsh, did you still have another question? Okay. I'm not sure. We should still probably be making sure that all the questions are asked of LRO before we take a motion and start working the bill. Are there any more questions for LRO? Rep. Levy.
I would thank you, Chair Nathanson. I would have to
echo what Greg is saying. I also, too, have received quite a bit of calls from people in my district asking me not to support the Dash 8, but I have the same feelings that he does. I understand that you've worked really, really hard to find middle ground on this, and you've reached out to everybody, but it hasn't quite got to where my side of the state and the timber want it to be, but I appreciate the hard work that you've done. Thank you.
Representative Reschke.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Ms. McGovern or Mr. Alanak, I know in the past, this harvest tax has worked hand in glove with the forestry budget. And so the forestry budget 5518 passed out of the subcommittee yesterday. I'm just wondering how the Dash 8 aligns up with that budget as it has in the past.
Chris, I'm not on top of 5518.
Yeah, Rep. Reschke, we don't, because that's LFO work, and so we don't really have the detail to be able to answer that question. That's really the work that's done in LFO. What we flag and how we work in tandem with LFO is the bills that pass, and with any sort of revenue impacts associated with them, we maintain contact and work in tandem with LFO so that if there need to be budget adjustments or changes, they take care of those. So I'm not trying to avoid the question, but it's really an LFO answer to it. They're aware of this bill, they've looked at it, and so they'll be making any budgetary adjustments that they need to do on their end.
Thank you.
Before we get, I want to make sure if there were any more questions for LRO that we get those in. I'm not seeing any right now, just so we can, Rep. Valderrama, yes.
Yes, I'm sorry to, thank you, Chair Nathanson. So I am sorry to ask this question, but I do just want to make sure I am fully understanding the rates. So if I could just reiterate, I guess, Representative Marsh's question one more time. And I was writing down, so maybe you all can just help me confirm what I understood for the forest fire current rate. I think I have 21 cents. For the OFRE current rate, I have 81 cents. And then the remaining three, OSU Research, Admin Forest Practices Act, and OSU Forestry Education, are combined to $3.18 with different percentages within them. Is that correct?
Representative Valderrama, I was trying to keep up with you while you were stating them. So if you would allow me to restate what I think you said, and what I think is the right comparisons that you're looking at, guide me if I make a mistake or you need more clarification, please. So what I think that you were saying is that that if we're looking at the current Forest Practices Act, that would $1.387, and that is changing to $2.07 per 1,000 board feet. So these are all measured on volume. And then there's the OSU Forestry Education, which is currently at 10 cents and moving to 21 cents. And there is the OSU Forest Research, which remains the same. Now, the new treatment is an allocation of a single rate, but it ends up being in dollars per 1,000 board feet. That last one, the Forest Research, was at 90 cents. And the existing one is a single rate, but the impact is the same in terms of how it's treated on 1,000 board feet. And then the total for those three portions will now be $3.18 for that that single or that combined rate, which those three portions are currently $2.39. And then the overall rate, when you add in the decrease to OFRI and the increase to the fire suppression, you move from the current rate of $4.132 per thousand board feet to $4.93 or $4.93. Is that, am I capturing it and or answering your question? And I'm happy to confuse you more.
Yeah, and or I think is the right way. I think we are saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to confirm that I am mostly understanding. So I think I do have it correct. So thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. I think we've been all around with the opportunity to ask questions so that we can have something on the table to discuss for a work session. Rep. Pham, would you do a motion, please?
Yes, Chair Nathanson, I move the Dash 8 amendment to House Bill 2070.
Vice Chair Pham moves the Dash 8 amendment to House Bill 2070. So, discussion on the Dash 8. Rep. Pham.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, first of all, I want to say I will support this Dash 8 amendment, but I did want to express my disappointment that we were not able to take on some of the portions of the Dash 1 or the Dash 2 amendment, which would have made the rate state permanent. I think that I was looking over our notes from the public hearings and also some of the emails that I'm getting from my constituents who are critiquing our current system as being very unstable and not transparent. And I think that making it permanent would have made it more stable, more transparent. And so I just look forward to continuing to look at this issue because I also have to be accountable to some of what my constituents are saying and wanting to have a more, I guess what I heard really clearly was about good government reforms and wanting to make sure that our harvest tax reflected those principles. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Smith. Oh, Rep. Smith.
There we go. There we go. Thank you, Chair Nathanson. You know, I want to share with Rep. Pham how much I appreciate her comments. The great thing about democracy is we have a chance to represent each of our districts. And I think it's pretty cool that folks with intellect can come to different conclusions and still remain partners willing to collaborate on other issues. And so while we probably today, Madam Chair, perhaps I may not agree with where you're going or with where the majority's going, and I just want you to know I appreciate it. And I look forward to working on other issues, but I will be a no vote today simply because the folks in my district feel like this is the wrong direction. But again, Madam Chair, this is democracy. Thank you.
Representative Reschke.
Thank you, Chair Nathanson. I'm just gonna suggest that I'm disappointed, I guess, that we're not looking at the Dash 9s, which I know do fit hand in glove with how, Senate Bill 5518 and do make the budget align just right, just kind of like how it's been done in the past. So I'll be a no on this Dash 8 today, but again, as others have said, appreciate the chair's work on this.
Thank you. Thank you both for your comments. Anyone else? Well, I'm going to jump in and say something. As Rep. Smith mentioned in a previous comment, there has been a lot of work to move to the middle from both sides. As you've heard, what this amendment is that I am very pleased to bring to you makes a lot of people over on this end unhappy and a lot of people on that end unhappy, which means you've heard the adage, you know, sometimes if everybody's a little uncomfortable, maybe it's about right because you're trying to move to the middle instead of just a winner takes all kind of approach. So I am very pleased to bring you this amendment today. It was developed working with several people representing the interests of industry. And it incorporates also some of the thoughts that have been shared in this committee previously about good governance, about transparent process, about helping stabilize the budget and funding, and how to be more clear about our legislative process. This amendment has features in it that will look similar to the current structure, as opposed to a more sweeping amendment that I would have recommended if I were just doing something on my own. It does have elements to it that are similar to our existing structure, and it also has some new features. It was really actually quite a really good experience working on this, the collaborating, trying to figure out, well, give a little here, give a little there, each side trying to listen carefully to the other side and saying, okay, I see your point. I'll let you, you know, I can recognize that. I can go that far and we did it on the other side too. So that's why I believe this amendment is really a step in the right direction. It's modernizing a system that's been in place for a long time. And we do have an agency that needs a more stable budget, especially at a time when the threat of fire looms large. And also the interest in forest management practices is increasing. We've got all of that going on at the same time. Representative Marsh.
Thank you, Chair Nathanson. Well, obviously, as the architect of the Dash One amendment, I would ally with Rep. Pham in saying that I had hoped that we could get to a point where we really had a permanent rate that was stable and predictable and transparent. I think taxpayers are best served under that. I will join others in saying I appreciate the move to the middle that's gone on and the hard work at really diving in. And I think we should not move on without recognizing that there's an important reallocation among the different funds that are supported by the harvest tax. OFRI will see a little bit of a gap, but they're also not going to be investing in advertising, which I think is a good change. But they'll still have a robust budget to deal with. But we also see important increases in fire protection and the Forest Protection Act, and those are really important investments. So I think we should acknowledge that an increase from 413 to 493 is a good thing. We hope it won't be too onerous on the taxpayers who are paying it, but those will be important investments. So thank you for negotiating the move to the middle, but also the reallocation of funding in a way that really supports the most critical services that we need supported in the state.
I'm looking for any other hands up. Rep. Valderrama.
Yes, thank you, Chair Nathanson. I'll also just chime in and share that I'll be supportive of this Dash 8 amendment as well. And similarly, you know, I think was hoping to find some opportunity for a permanent structure forward. And that being said, I also just want to acknowledge and lift up all of the hard work of the staff and of your leadership, Chair Nathanson. And really, the dialogue here in this committee has been quite refreshing to
to see so much respect and courtesy among all of us on some really tough topics that clearly impact all of our districts and communities in different ways. But it truly has been really wonderful to see all of the respectful conversation that we've been having. And it's definitely been a great learning opportunity for me on this committee. And so just really appreciate that and happy to support this this time around.
Representative Smith. Oh, Rep Smith.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I just want to get on the record. If this amendment passes, I'm blaming Chris Allenack for this occurring. And I'm joking. I'm tired. Sorry. It's Friday. We're at the end of session. I am teasing. I apologize. Representative Valderrama, I so appreciate your comments. But Chris, I hold you responsible.
Representative Reschke.
Thank you. I don't think I want to follow that. You know, you're not supposed to follow animals or children when you're doing talent shows. So Representative Smith was funny there, so that's not fun to follow. But I'll just turn the conversation back to stable rates. And stable rates are fine if you have stable production. And I know we looked at a graph that over the last 20 years, production has been pretty much the same. But this year, it's not. It's down. And next year is projected also to be down as far as production. And that's why you want to have, in my opinion, you want to have flexible rates, is so that you can maintain the funding stream to the forestry department and OFREE, et cetera. When you have stable rates, you have to have stable production. And this industry, as we're seeing this the next 2 years here, is going to be anything but stable. Thank you.
Those are really good points, Rep. Reschke. Thank you. I agree. And in the dash eight, it is a permanent rate for OFREE and a permanent rate for protection. Rep. Levy.
I guess what I would say is, so most of you have all received the invitation to the Economic Summit in Eastern Oregon. And so today I had a board meeting on that, and one of the, we're having a forestry forum. And so Wood Grain Industries talked to me, and they're one of the ones that talked to me specifically about the Dash 8 and how it was gonna affect the amount of their wood that they're gonna receive, because the forest fire in the Santee Am and the forest fires that we have experienced, and then the rate of the wood that is hit by the heat and drying, standing, you know, that will burn the fastest, those woods are not going to be getting the most value that when they're cut and brought into the lumber mills. And those are going to continue to go down because of the fact that we're in such a severe drought right now. And they're really concerned about not being able to have wood to process, because it's not going to, good wood is not going to be there. It's going to be a less valued wood. And that was one of the things that they talked about. So, and as a producer of lumber and lumber products, and it's real important to them to have a high quality product. And that probably is not going to last very much longer.
Thank you, Rep. Levy, for the additional information, the background and so forth. If there's something else that's been on my mind, I'm not on a natural resources committee, but it certainly caught my attention when I recently read an article about the status of seedlings for planting. We used to have resources, and we don't now. And I'm very concerned about this, and I really don't understand why Oregon doesn't have the capacity to serve its producers, if you will, It's we don't have the seedlings available for the woodlot owners anymore. And other states continue to provide this, and Oregon doesn't. So that's definitely going to be a question I pose. Well, what have we been investing the money in if we can't even do that, because we need to be able to help people invest in the future? Other discussion? I think I'm not seeing any other hands right now. It looks like we're ready for a vote then on the motion that's in front of us.
Yes.
If I'm wrong, someone chime in, but the motion has been made for the Dash 8, correct? Well, let's have a roll call vote.
Representative Levy.
Levy votes no.
Representative Marsh.
Marsh votes yes.
Representative Smith.
With the most respect to our chair, unfortunately, I'll vote no.
Representative Valderrama.
Valderrama votes aye.
Vice Chair Pham.
Pham votes aye.
Vice Chair Reschke.
Reschke votes no.
And Chair Nathanson.
Nathanson votes aye. That motion passes. Rep Pham, could we have another motion?
Yes, Chair Nathanson, I move House Bill 2070 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Pham moves House Bill 2070 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Rep Reschke.
Thank you, Chair Nathanson. And Mr. Alanak, just to get this on the record, make sure we're clear, this would be a three-fifths vote. Is that correct on the House floor?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? I'm not seeing any hands. Let's have a roll call vote.
Representative Levy.
Levy votes no.
Representative Marsh.
Marsh votes yes.
Representative Smith.
Again, with the most due respect to the chair, unfortunately, I'm a no vote.
Representative Valderrama.
Valderrama votes aye.
Vice Chair Pham.
Pham votes yes.
Vice Chair Reschke.
Reschke votes no.
And Chair Nathanson.
Nathanson votes aye. Motion passes. This bill needs a carrier. So I'll assign myself as carrier for House Bill 2070. Thank you all for a really fine committee conversation this afternoon. And thank you for all of your patience as we waited and we recessed and recessed, but we finally got our work done for the week. So thank you all so much for your patience. Mr. Alanak, any other business for us this afternoon?
The last item, Madam Chair, is just a reminder that you do have a meeting scheduled on Monday, but it is at 1 p.m.
Okay, something new again. All right, I'll see everybody on Monday. We're adjourned.
Have a good weekend.
Bye.
Bye-bye.